You are listening to Horus the Avengers Follow the White Rabbit, an exclusive WhiteRabbitRadio.net production.
Horus Avengers Follow the White Rabbit, I've introduced you to sound. I always say it starts with a sound and a vibration. But I want to go a little bit deeper into sound. Some very simple things, and maybe you've never thought about. I always talk about it starts with a sound, it starts with a vibration. Sound is simply a pressure wave. Now let's do a little rehash. I told you how sound breaks glass. You've ever seen an opera singer break glass? You can go to breakglass.org or look up how does sound break glass, and you'll see some interesting videos. You'll see an opera singer. Various different opera singers can break glass. All they have to do is find resonance. Glass has a natural resonance. Resonance is the natural frequency at which glass will readily vibrate. You can see an opera singer find the right note. Next thing you know, the goblet starts shaking. And then it'll start violently cavitating, and then they'll raise the volume and bust it. Break the shatter of the thing. You can watch it on YouTube. It's just how sound works. To find the resonance of the glass, ping the glass and listen to the sound. If that is the correct frequency or tone for the glass to start to vibrate. It's that simple. Sound, we do not take it seriously because sound is not something we can see. Humans don't take things seriously that they can't see. We're all guilty of that. We can feel sound, but we can't see it. You can feel your little girl sing, maybe in her first recital, or she's in a Christmas play coming up at school, and she's singing O Holy Night, and you get goosebumps. Well, the reason you have goosebumps is from a pressure wave. And that's all sound is, a pressure wave. We don't take it seriously because we don't see it, but we can feel it. You can feel sound. Sound can be very beautiful, like O Holy Night, your little girl singing it, or sound can be extremely destructive. Sound can be violent. But sound is simply a pressure wave. That's all it is a pressure wave. We don't take it seriously, but a lot of different parties on this planet do. White Rabbit Genocide, or the mantra, which White Rabbit Genocide is just a mantra for white rabbits. It's been made into an allegory, is a pressure wave. That's all it is. It's a little high-tech gadget and gizmo. I'm just explaining to you what it is. Most of the time you see these little sounds, little ditties like Asia for the Asians, Africa for the Africans, white countries for everybody. And you don't understand what it is. Well, your enemy does. Your enemy does. And everyone at the top understands this. They're not going to repeat the Soviet mistake and not take this type of thing seriously. In the Soviet Union, you know, they were just walking around. They undermined the whole thing by walking around and asking very simple questions, pointing out the contradiction in that closed system. If the Soviet system is so wonderful, if the Soviet Union is such a wonderful place to be, why do you have guards with machine guns at the border to make sure people don't leave? You know, why does it need guards with machine guns at the border to keep people in, to keep people from leaving? They were asking simple things. And Bob Whitaker at WhitakerOnline.org was on the front lines of that. And the whole thing slammed right to the ground. But what the reason it's destructive is simply because sound is a pressure wave. Most of you, hopefully any day now, you'll get to hear the Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar, the Bug Session of the Stormfront Conference. Our session of the Stormfront Conference, a lot of people have told me they thought it was my particular speech, my spiel was better than the podcast. I speak better in public than I do on a podcast. Podcasts are relatively new to me. but I've been told that before by others who have heard both ways. Most of you have only heard me speak one way, but I don't know how the MP3s, when they're coming out or how they're going to come out, but I go into some of these different things from a very straight up standpoint on what we're doing, why we're doing it. But I want to take a minute and go into something a little bit more detail. Sound is simply a pressure wave. And I'm going to go into even more details than I did in the Stormfront Conference. Sound is a mechanical wave that results from a back and forth vibration of the particles of the medium through which sound the wave is moving. Interesting, huh? Sound is a mechanical wave. There are two basic types of waves. When you start talking about sound as a pressure wave, well, it's a mechanical wave. to be really precise in physics. It's a mechanical wave. It's a pressure wave. All sound is a pressure wave, but sound is actually a mechanical wave. In any type of physics, there are two different categories of waves. There are mechanical waves and electromagnetic waves. Sound is not an electromagnetic wave. It is a mechanical wave. Electromagnetic waves are waves that have an electric and magnetic nature and are capable of traveling through a vacuum. Electromagnetic waves do not require a medium in order to transport their energy. Mechanical waves are waves that require a medium in order to transport their energy from one location or another. And let me give you a great example. And this example they give on a physics tutorial online or anywhere else, it's very simple. Maybe you remember back in the physics classroom where you actually saw this go to town. The typical type of experiment they will do to show you the difference is they will have a ringing bell. A ringing bell, and they will put the ringing bell in a big glass jar, and then they'll suck the air out of the jar, and you can hear the bell ring. The bell will ring until they get the air out of the jar, and then once the air is coming out of the jar, all of a sudden the bell goes silent. The bell's ringing, but you can't hear it. And I'll read you a little piece, and this is very interesting. Because mechanical waves rely on particle interaction in order to transport their energy, they cannot travel through the regions of space that are void of particles. That is, mechanical waves cannot travel through a vacuum. Sound is a pressure wave. Pressure waves are mechanical waves. Sound is basically a mechanical wave, put short, and cannot travel through a vacuum. You've got to have air or something along those lines for sound to travel. Kind of common sense, I guess. This feature of mechanical waves is often demonstrated in a basic physics class. A ringing bell is placed in a jar, and air inside the jar is evacuated. Once air is removed from the jar, the sound of the ringing bell can no longer be heard. The clapper is seen striking the bell, but the sound that produces cannot be heard because there is no particles inside the jar to transport the disturbance through the vacuum. Sound is a mechanical wave and cannot travel through a vacuum. What you're doing when you get into the mantra, when I say we're going to raise the volume, we are raising the volume, and what we have unleashed is a pressure wave. And that pressure wave is a mechanical wave. It has to have something like air to travel. Yeah, it can't travel in a vacuum. Our enemy produces closed systems. The way you get out of that closed system is you break the loop. You break the loop by pointing out its contradictions, and you do so in a very simple way, methodically, over and over again. And then it catches on, and then it starts spreading. And a lot of times this stuff spreads in a way that most of us don't even realize. A lot of times we've heard something, we don't know what we've heard, it's influenced us, we know it's influenced us because we're talking about it, but we don't know how we get these concepts or topics or all that different types of things. And that the reason behind this, I was asked a question. And the reason, of course, is sound is a mechanical wave. As long as we have air, and this sounds really ridiculous, but as long as we have oxygen, we can transport that mechanical wave. We can build a pressure wave. The only way you can shut that down long term, you can ignore us and everything else, but the only way you can shut that down long term is to put us, is to put the planet into some type of big bell jar and suck out the oxygen. Sound is that violent. And I was asked a couple of questions. One, why didn't our enemy, if you look at One People's Project, you can look them up online. They publicize every single white racial, white supremacist, the way they call it, white rabbit event ever to happen. They've published every single one of them. Usually in the past, they publish the Stormfront events. They have pictures up, whatever. Not a word about this one. Not a word from the SPLC about a Stormfront conference. Not a word about the ADL from a Stormfront concert. They might talk about David Duke. They've talked about James Edwards of late. James Edwards, a political cesspool, a phenom down there in the South. But they didn't talk about the Stormfront conference. And of course, he spoke there. James Edwards spoke there, and I was asked, why are they doing this? I mean, Horace, you've talked about that they avoid Bob, they avoid this stuff like the plague. They don't talk about your stuff. It's some of the most interesting stuff. I heard the speech. I thought they were going to show up there. I can't believe they didn't even at least make an attempt, but they didn't even mention it on One People's Project. They didn't even mention it on SPLC. Is there a reason for that? Is this reason comes down to the sound being a pressure wave? Yes. This stuff is very, very dangerous to the type of systems they built. They've been burnt before. They're not going to give it any exposure because they take it far more seriously than anyone else. It is a direct threat to their system. We have their number, and we can ring their number. So why would you want to give it you don't want to give it any type of exposure at all. I've always said that the only correct play is you make whatever decisions you got to make, and you get the ball rolling. And that's what you really see on this planet, is they've got the ball rolling since 2008, and there could be a variety of different reasons for that. I'm not saying my podcast is a reason by any means, but we are doing our little part to provide pressure from below, and the way pressure from below is provided in this type of system is a consistent message. It's a sound. It's a vibration. It is pressure, and you feel it. You know, we can make mistake after mistake after mistake firing the mantra. You can lose arguments after arguments after arguments. I've proven this. I proved this to the Stormfront Conference. But you cannot defeat the broken record strategy. You cannot defeat something that is imposing terminology, that points out the contradictions of this type of system. That's undefeatable in the long run, even in the medium run. It can be very, very difficult. You don't want to do anything to give it exposure because it can blow up in your face and you end up like the Soviet Union. The Berlin Wall comes down and boom! They don't want to repeat that mistake. So that's one of the reasons. And then I was asked another question. It's kind of common sense if you understand it. I was asked another question. Various different parties are going to the Occupy Wall Street and all this different stuff. All over the Western world these are going on. And I've been asked questions from more than different places on the planet, these big rallies going on. One just recently from someone I trust from Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar. He said he was walking around Occupy. I don't know what Occupy Wall Street is. I don't know what part of America, but this was in America. And he said, you know, I was talking to people, and he's like, you know, there are some nuts there. There are some crazies there and whatnot. Well, actually, he wasn't the one that said that. He said most of the people he saw at the particular rally he was at are pretty normal. What I'm getting is that there's a wide variety of rabbits going to these things. You know, I don't know. I haven't been to one yet, so I don't really know. So I'm trusting listeners' opinions. But he said the one he was at was pretty normal. And he said what was interesting is he talked to several different parties. Now, I've heard this probably about 5 times all across the Western world. They talked to several different parties, and they assumed by talking to those parties that they've read Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar, or that they thought they listened to Horus the Avengers Follow the White Rabbit. They're talking to someone, and he said, you know, you must listen to White Rabbit Radio. I mean, you kind of sound like have you heard of Horus the Avenger? And they'll say, no. But, you know, and the topics they're talking about are very White Rabbit genocide-ish. The topics they're talking about are very mantra-ish. It's like almost the mantra. You know, this person almost did the mantra. I thought, you know, you have to read Bob Whitaker. You have to, I'm getting this more on a handful of different occasions. Or, you know, you have to listen to Horus Avengers Follow the White Rabbit. Oh, I've never heard of it. What do you mean? What website is this? WhiteRabbitRadio.net. You sound like you've heard White Rabbit Genocide. No. You know, I've never heard of it, but thanks for the tip. What you have to understand is sound is extremely seductive. As long as you have oxygen to carry, that bell will ring. It doesn't stop, it doesn't quit, and it keeps ringing. When you start dealing with building pressure waves, like the mantra does, it's a little piece of technology is what it is. That's all Bob did was he crafted a little golden horn or silver whistle, what I told you in the first podcast. You know, horns and whistles, there's all kinds of different horns and whistles in mythology where some god blows a horn and a whole city is built, or some in the Old Testament, the horn of Jericho brought down the walls of Jericho. That's all it is. It's some little musical event. It's a pressure wave. It just starts unleashing it. What you have to do is increase the volume. And you will find this stuff comes out of the woodwork. People are influenced by pressure waves and they don't even know what they are. We're influenced by sound. We have stuff bouncing around in our heads, whether it be, especially this is easily demonstrated with music. And you don't even know where you heard it last. You'll be playing some, Achy Breaky Heart or some horrible song, and you won't know where you heard it last. It'll just race through your mind. And it has to do with sound being a pressure wave, in specific, a mechanical wave. And since we got plenty of air, in spite of what the Pink Rabbit Banksters tell us, that we're running out of oxygen, running out of air, running out of clean air, we got plenty of air to carry a pressure wave. It gets out there and it starts, especially if you hit a target audience, which is what I've done. It's not really even debatable. and things start rising, that pressure wave starts rising, a lot of people will hear stuff and not even know where they've heard it, and it's funny how this stuff works. I've always told you, when you see this stuff work, and given enough time, you'll really see this stuff work, more than the head-scratchers that occupy Wall Street saying, wait a minute, you had to hear Horace Avenger. No, I've never heard that. Never heard of White Rabbit Genocide, but I'll listen. You know, it's cool. You had to have heard the mantra. No, I never. They might have, they just didn't understand it. This stuff is... You cannot understand how dynamic sound is. You cannot underestimate what you are involved in or what you're doing. I've always said we have an agenda. It's very big. Well, if you're going to have agendas, you might as well have a big one. But sound is like that. It is terrifying. There are only two ways a consistent message is used like this. One, to threaten the system directly and to change things, to bring it to a halt, to throw groups out of power, to basically shove the system down the sinkhole of history, like the Soviet Union. There's another way it's used, and that is the actual fear and terror it can put in an enemy. It's used as psychological warfare, because once it's released among a target audience, you can put a clock on it. It's going to go mainstream given enough time. It would be even more wild if one of these different political operatives in Washington grows a pair, male or female alike. Maybe you got a female rabbit out there, she wants to grow a pair and come out on message and say, in your opinion, I'm a racist. You're just saying that because I'm white. Anti-racism is just a code word for anti-white. Now, that would really freak you out. That's in the Berlin Wall scenario when, you know, Bob Whitaker's running around North America pushing stuff. When some of this stuff came live, it really would, you know, if you've never seen it before, it will freak you out. Like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know what it is. Most people don't know what it is, but you know what it is. You're like, whoa, whoa. Now, obviously, that wouldn't be accident. When you come out on message, that's how it works. It goes top down. And once it goes top down, once these memes get seeded, it is to that particular operative's advantage to come out on message, especially if you're one of the first to do it, because you get a lot of power and glory. Now, of course, Dr. David Duke has beat people up. James Edwards, political cesspool, he's got it in there, you know. But I'm talking about someone at a very visual level. Let's say you were at, who knows, some big Republican, one of these Republican so-called debates, and one of the candidates, I can't think of anyone that I would even do it, but let's, yeah, the black guy. The peanut gallery's full of, the black guy comes out on the mantra. Yeah, Herman Cain. That's funny, but one of them did do it. It would freak you out, because you're not going to ever say a message like that, unless you're some anti-white on YouTube and you don't know better. You're never going to say it from the top, from some very visual position, and not be serious about it. So that's where it becomes interesting, and I do not know. I cannot answer you objectively on whether or not it'll go that route, because our enemy is getting ready to jump off the cliff of World War III, and they're crazy enough to do it. Yes, they are. But I will tell you that is inevitable. That's inevitable in the trend. Just as sure as you're hearing the public say stuff that's very mantra-ish at Occupy Wall Street, you're seeing stuff that is like, whoa, wait a minute, this is getting really close. Sound is very insidious. The type of sound that the mantra produces, the type of mechanical wave, the pressure wave, as it starts building, it is pressure. And it's riding a wave. And if you're the enemy, the last thing you want to do is step in front of it. Giving exposure is stepping in front of a message. That's really what you're doing. You know, you're gonna invite Bob on some radio show. You're basically stepping in front of a wave. That's really what you're doing. What we're doing is riding it. They want to step in front of it, fine. The smart ones, you get on a surfboard, you paddle out as far away as you can, you make whatever decisions you want to make. And you get ready. And this time, they're going to this big, big war or whatever, but we still got a job to do. And our job is just getting interesting. It's just getting fascinating on this third rock from the sun, because their new world order, and I've talked about it millions of different times, before it's over, you're going to conclude that it is all about White Rabbit Genocide. And, if you're on message, you're way ahead of the curve. If you're one of the first that help us put out this stuff, we're way ahead of the curve. It's our job. That's our cup of tea. And I have an objective, meaning that I have a target audience. My target audience isn't necessarily watching the nightly news. Now, you know, historically, you get on the news, it's a big deal, and it still is. You got about 26, 25 million viewers. And there was a time when that was the only show going. But now we have other news shows. We got Rents.com, you got the InfoWars. And they have, you know, a few million listeners on any given month or any given week or whatever. They're about 10% of the nightly news in a target audience. The difference for me is that's 100% my target audience. That audience, maybe you've heard of 9/11 Truth. That audience took 9/11 and made it into 9/11 Truth in a matter of days. That audience gave us a bug swarm. It gave us a bug swarm in a matter of months. And I'm not even targeting them directly. I targeted them through Stormfront. They surf on Stormfront. They don't necessarily post there, but they surf there. Different parties surf there. Some post, some don't. Some are racially inclined, some don't. I don't care about that. I care about their ability to fight the system. I care about their ability to come on message. Them wanting to come on message. That's what's important. But what we are doing in the next phase is I'm targeting them directly, not indirectly. Directly, and we have some very interesting ways to do that. I don't want to jinx anything, but we're going back and forth, and that's one of the things we are doing. In fact, that is the main thing we're doing with any extra revenue from t-shirts or especially in-game Exotica. That is our objective, is to move into that media directly. And I've been asked, can we do that through ads or through, well, yes, we can. Yes, we can. I'm going to go into that in the next one. We've already been approved for stuff. We just have to go through the process of go through the chains to get it up and start running everything and to raise enough revenue to support it on a month-to-month basis. But we're doing that the old-fashioned way by offering a product or service that we think a lot of white rabbits will buy, or enough to give us a foothold to allow us to take that next step. Just like I knew enough would buy White Rabbit t-shirts to keep the White Rabbit, WhiteRabbitRadio.net server alive, and we'll be expanding that as well. And I'm going to go into that next because it's important for you to understand. You've been a part of, and you're going to be a part of this. But that is our target audience. That target audience is no joke. Again, I understand that most of them are just trying to figure out what the New World Order is. They've heard about the Jews, and Rinse.com has played a huge role in them hearing about the Jews. And the racial elements have laid the groundwork for that for years. But the right medium, the right mix, the right target audience can grab something and take something like anti-Semitism prime time in a matter of hours. That's the way stuff works. I want them to do what they did to 9/11 Truth, to White Rabbit Genocide, to the Mantra. Can they do it? Absolutely. Will they do it? Sure. Just got to give them exposure. You got to lay some foundation. You got to do a few things like that. And we're going to talk about that in the next. I'm going to talk a little bit about my target audience, where they are, who they are. They're simply white and normal, and they like alternative news and research. They don't believe the news are getting on TV, but none of us do. I don't really care, again, if they're what we think of as racially awake or aware, but they're starting to ask some serious questions. Why don't I care about that? Well, our race is not ethnocentric. Our race is not racially inclined, naturally, and that is racial. So it's something we got to work with. We have to awaken. If the Dr. David Dukes have to awaken, if you have to go through that with someone like him, well, the average white rabbit, as I say, you know, we got to give them some space. That's why I talk about things indirectly. I use very disarming language. I use language in terms they've never heard about before. I use an allegory. I'm not really rabbits. We're white people, but it's very disarming for this particular audience, and that's the audience I have to reach to kill the system. Which is fine. We'll do whatever's necessary. And these are the type of things also I went into in the Stormfront conference. But I'm going to go into this target audience next to let you know what's going on with in-game Exotica, because we have so many of you, and who knows who else is signing up, which is good. I want to be able to run ads directly. Of course, getting through to some of these different parties to actually get on the show is also a lot easier. Getting on anything is easier if you run ads, or if you work out some type of ad deal, or if you're talking about spending money with those particular groups. Now, of course, your first question is, will the Rinse.com allow White Rabbit Radio to run ads? Well, we've had two different times from two different parties to get various different ads we kicked out approved. I'm going to talk about that next. Now, that doesn't mean anything. I won't believe anything until I see it, but that's the route we're going. You know, I need to be up front with that. I always am up front with the agenda we have. We're looking to target this audience directly. Nothing wrong with Stormfront. If we had the extra revenue, we'd run front page ads there too, but this is our target audience. It's not 25 million, and some of them are. It's millions. They all are. They all have the potential. to create the buzz necessary to move the message into the prime time, to build the pressure wave quickly. You know, the shortest distance between two points is the straightest line. The group that can take our message and that has taken the message of white rabbit genocide the quickest are those, by and large, alternative news and research listeners. And it isn't, about half of them are fantasy rabbits. The other half are serious, half are fantasy rabbits, half are into reality, and they're all interested in fighting this system, and they want to know a way to fight it. And I show them the most violent way going, a mechanical wave, a pressure wave. And it works. It by and large works. Some of them have to get a little uncomfortable to be able to use it, but it usually, once someone hears enough, it makes more and more sense. It makes more and more sense. It's not necessarily they teach you something they teach you in school, but that's what Follow the White Rabbit's about. But we're going to talk about my target audience next. I'm going to talk about the direction we're going. I'm going to talk about some various different things. A funny thing that happened at Rents.com a few years back, 2008. Many of the white nationalists, the anti-Semites like me, who have always read the anti-Semitic stuff or what I call legitimate information on the Jews, set the stage to be able to turn on an asset like that. The reason they would accept our ads is, and I'll get into that. They've already seen what happens when let me give you an example. Rents.com is about three times larger than Stormfront at a minimum. And they have a huge, radio. He's one of the pioneers. Jeff Rents is one of the pioneers in radio. He made alternative news and research on the radio. He's one of them. Now they take ads. Some of them, like Coast to Coast AM, they don't take ads, but he takes ads. And so that's why we're paying. InfoWars also takes ads. InfoWars is very pro-Zionist. Jeff Rents is very anti-Zionist. Not necessarily, he's against Jewish supremacism. I don't think he walks around wishing anything bad on little Jew rabbits or anything like that, but he talks about them. And you can go to Rents.com, you can see Brother Nathaniel Kapner, you can see Dr. David Duke. If you're having Dr. David Duke on your channel, you're probably not pro-Zionist, you're probably not big on Jewish supremacism, and you probably don't give a rip if they call you names. That's just common sense. And you probably don't care if I run a pink rabbit ad that says down with pink rabbits with a big picture of a gnarly looking pink rabbit. They probably don't care about that either, and they don't apparently. but we're going to get to that in a minute. I'm going to talk about Rents. I'm going to talk about the target audience and some of the different things going on. But what you need to understand is these are huge, huge media venues. Rents.com reaches as many people online as GlennBeck.com or RushLimbaugh.com. But the difference is, of course, it's 100% my target audience. You know, Glenn Beck or Rush Limbaugh would probably be 100% James Edwards political cesspool type target audience. No doubt about it. But Rents.com is 100% our target audience. It's a target audience that can take our message prime time, go wild with a mantra, or wild enough to kill this thing. And this thing is this beast, the beast the Red Hippo built to kill us. It's the system you're in. The system is pro-white genocide. It's anti-white to the core. In fact, I don't think there could be anything dreamed up more anti-white than the system we're in Western civilization. But to get out of it, we have to point out the contradictions. And my philosophy is the bigger, the better, the faster, the better. let's get it done yesterday type of thing. That's Bob, old Bob Whitaker at WhitakerOnline.org. That's the policy, his policy as well. Which is why, you know, a lot of people question, why would he put up a link to White Rabbit Radio? He only cares about killing the system and getting results. He doesn't care about the method you have to use. I mean, you gotta be creative with some of these times. Our race is not all that ethnocentric. So if you're going to talk about race, you better get used to using allegories and stuff, because they'll just turn you off. The only thing you're going to have is a little audience of racially aware whites, which is a growing number, granted, but they may not be the ones to get you where you want to go with whatever you're doing when it comes to moving a consistent message like ours, which is quite radical. White rabbit genocide is pretty radical. Moving that prime time, well, you got to go to the most radical group. I don't really care about their ethnic sensibilities or how. I care about only their ability to move that prime time quickly to get that message out there. And they've done very well. But we'll chat. We'll continue chatting about them. One thing I wanted to do is share with the audience WhiteRabbitRadio.net. Horus the Avengers, Follow the White Rabbit, on where we're going in the future and what's up with the members-only site, or members only area. The idea was to split up the podcast between alternative news and research and geopolitics, and talk about these two different areas, as well as anything else under those particular categories, and to continue the podcast for practical politics, and to keep exposing the podcast because there's enough material up, obviously, to expose my target audience to the podcast in a variety of different ways. The first priority is to understand what the target audience is. One of the interesting things about the Stormfront Conference is I talked a little bit about what we were doing, using Stormfront as a jumping off point into the alternative news and research audience. This audience is very, very dynamic. It can do everything for our message a lot faster than any other target audience, simply because they've done it in the past. They've taken something like 9/11 truth, which some of you might cotton to. Others of you might think 9/11 truthers and all this 9/11 truth, September 11th and all the, everything that goes with it is a bunch of nonsense. But regardless of what you feel about it or what I may feel about some elements of it, what we have to understand is one thing clearly. They took it mainstream, and they took it mainstream very quickly. They can do that for White Rabbit Genocide or anything else in our struggle. And the most biggest moral demanding issue of the day is, of course, White Rabbit Genocide. And it is to me because you're on WhiteRabbitRadio.net. And for Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar, we fight it with the mantra. To expose the largest audience to that, there are two general approaches. One, you get on the nightly news, and I'm not opposed to that. That is tailor-made for Bob. Bob was on Fox News at one time. It's a big story from someone, a former official from the Reagan administration, putting little kids, little white rabbits on Stormfront on a consistent message concerning their genocide. That's a big story for the news, and he would be tailor-made for that. But there's another approach as well, other than the mass appeal, to getting someone in front of a mass audience. And am I opposed to that? Absolutely not. Not opposed to someone getting on Fox News or any other large media venue. But there's another that is an open avenue, has always been an open avenue for us, and I believe it has been an open avenue for our struggle for quite some time. That's alternative news and research. They have the largest websites in the world, with the exception of ours. They're twice to the 3 to 4 times as big as any white nationalist site out there. They're also wealthy. They have big, expensive ad rates, big, expensive advertisers. A lot of people have gotten rich off selling to that audience. I'm going to expose you a little bit to the demographics, but that is my target audience. Now, eventually, of course, we are going toward a cartoon. The cartoon will have a much, much broader target audience than just alternative news and research. This is just scratching the surface. But the shortest distance between two points is the straightest line. The straightest line for us is getting this, these memes, into the mainstream consciousness. And that has worked like magic with by targeting this audience. What I'm going to do in this next phase for Horus Avengers Follow the White Rabbit, is to target this audience directly in their own medium. In their own media, the sites that they surf on. That, of course, costs a little bit more than posting on Stormfront, but that's what we're raising revenue for. Right now, as of November, I'm guessing November 19th, November 20th, we've had the pay-per-view site is just out in the first month, basically. The actual members-only paid podcast had just went up in the past couple weeks. We are about a third of the way there to a half of the way there, depending on what type of ads we want to buy. And that's precisely what we're going to do, is or attempt to do. I'll know it when they're running. I won't believe it until I see them running, is that as of right now, through a few different sources, now three, Rents.com has said that they will let us buy ad space there to run various different of our graphics, whatever we think works, and whatever type of ads they're selling. They're not going to limit us. You know, we won't let you buy this type of ad or that type of ad. Whatever we can afford, they'll let us buy as of right now. Now, I won't know anything until they're running, but we're about halfway there. I could already go ahead and buy a month of a solid link on their front page. It would be a solid link. You'd see the eyes, or you'd see down with pink rabbits. We have some good graphics going for them. You would be able to, for about a month, we want to be able to buy a block to get a discount, because we may have to play with the graphics, we may have to play with something to get that audience interested. And it is a numbers game, but that's what we're going. That is the next step. Instead of going into Stormfront, which we already are on, that's wonderful. Instead of going into White News Now, or instead of going into one of these white nationalist or paleoconservative venues and trying to attract the Alex Jones or the Rents.com or the Red Ice Creations listener, what we're going to do is go into that forum directly, go into their media directly, and the simplest way to do that is to buy advertising. It also opens you up to different abilities to potentially get on one of the shows. Rents.com, of course, is tailor-made for one particular reason. He got into it with our enemy. He got into it with our enemy by exposing Jewish double standards and the double standards of the giant Zionists and the Jewish supremacists. You might go over there and see that David Dukes has articles on there, and he is very big on this Jewish double standard and Jewish supremacism. Well, when he did that, he lost advertisers. He got into it with the Jew rabbits. And any, just give you an idea, how big is Rents.com? Rents.com is as big online as Glenn Beck. His radio show is not as big as Glenn Beck, but his website is as big as Glenn Beck's online. He's huge. He's a big radio personality, Jeff Rents says. He's done a lot in that industry. The industry of alternative news and research would not be that industry without Jeff Rents. He has some very interesting articles. Since he got into it with the Jews, since he became what you see is what you get, down with pink rabbits, basically, since he went down that road, he's run a lot of more interesting articles. A lot of fascinating stuff. Some stuff you might not cotton to, but a lot of good stuff makes it up on there. A lot of interesting stuff. The media, the alternative news and research is very broad. There's a lot of garbage, but there's a lot of interesting stuff, and they have a huge audience. More important than the fact that this is three times bigger than Stormfront, it's 100% my target audience. It's not I'm going to jump into that audience vis-a-vis Stormfront. It's just I'm in that audience, period. It's a matter of how do we attract them. And I'm going to try to do it the same way we've always done it, with sight and sound and images and appealing to their senses. Because a lot of them do not like the system we're in and are willing to fight it. Now, he got into it with the little Jew rabbits, and that makes it difficult to deal with Jeff Rents now to this day, because now one could only imagine what would happen if let's say a website as big as Glenn Beck's, let's say someone who on AM radio starts really coming out, running David Duke articles. Well, you're getting into it with the Jews. You're going to lose advertisers. They're going to harass you. If any of my listeners aren't aware of it, if you go on Stormfront or I don't care, Vanguard, various different news forums that talk about the Jews, VNN forum, any of them, and you're going to realize very quickly that anyone, paleoconservative, white nationalist, whatever you want to label yourself, white normal, or anyone else in the world, that comes out and questions Jewish supremacism gets attacked, and it's a relentless attack. But, you know, he actually started attacking from a very large media platform that most don't even realize how large it is and how powerful it is as far as their ability to get out a message into the mainstream, the threat of meme. You know, half of America doesn't believe the official story on 9/11 truth, on 9/11, and they shouldn't probably. I mean, if half the population doesn't believe what the government's pumping, the government probably is pumping a lie. Something's going on with that, right? Not the whole truth or some partial truth. But that all comes from this segment of the media. And what I've looked to do from day one is to use them as a vehicle to fight white rabbit genocide, because I know all about the New World Order. I custom tailor everything for them. I assume that my listeners are not going to, the vast majority are not going to be racially aware. That's fine. I talk about rabbits. I use an allegory. Whatever. We're going to do what works, and that has worked for us. It's the bread and butter, even in appealing to that segment that may be already racially aware, like you see some elements on Brug Swarm right now. People come in for various different reasons, but they want to fight the New World Order, but they have a particular appetite, a particular menu, and they want someone cooking their carrot burgers their way. They want to have it their way. So that's what we look to appeal to, but we're going to go directly into that audience. And Jeff Rents, of course, got into it with Alex Jones. He has the famous brother Nathaniel Kapner on there, hard links to his site. He has his foundation on there, and they got into it with Alex Jones and Alex Jones' team, Zionists, many believe. Of course, now he's starting to preach against Israel because Zionism is been cut, in my opinion, has been cut loose by their leadership. It's a loser. It always was a loser. But Alex Jones, of course, got into it with Jeff Rents. Jeff Rents is a little bit, typically these shows are a little bit difficult to get on for one particular reason. Typically, to get on a radio show or even a television show, you would call up the producer, whoever's producing the show, who's ever running the deal, and you would pitch a show. Like, yeah, have me on your show, I'll talk about this, it'll be interesting, whatever. You can do that to radio shows, you can do that all over the place. If you have, it takes quite a bit of time, but you could do that. Pitching a show to alternative news and research is a little bit difficult because there is no direct contact. You've got to send an email. One of the easiest ways to do that is to start spending money advertising. So that is one of the tricks. Jeff Rentz is really tricky. So although he's my perfect target venue because he's already Pink Rabbit wise, wise of the Pink Rabbits, he found out probably the hard way, I guess. You know, these are people you just don't question. But you know, although he's my target audience, although they've already approved our ads, basically saying, yeah, you can run that. We don't care. That's fine. I'll believe it when I see it, but that's what they've said. This is straight from the horse's mouth. Getting through to them or going through their channels takes time because of what happened with the Jews. They get harassed all the time. The people you have to approach over ads, you got to go through a screener and then talk to the people directly. But you can't just approach them and pitch a show like a normal radio show. You've got to get through somehow, through this wall that they have up. And this wall they have up for a particular reason. And that particular reason, of course, has to do with the type of harassment they get and the type of death threats he gets and everything else for talking about the Jews, which one could imagine. I'm used to reading about Dr. Kevin McDonald, who sells books, very, very intriguing, very provocative books that you can buy. K-Mac, he's called in the white nationalist circle. Dr. Kevin McDonald, he talks about people that should dwell alone and all those fantastic books you can buy off of Amazon. I'm used to reading about the type of harassment he gets, but he does not have one of the largest media platforms in the history of the internet. You know, he doesn't have one of the top 2,000 read websites in the world. He doesn't have a big hit AM radio show, and he doesn't make lots and lots of money. He just is an academic who writes provocative books that got a lot of attention from our enemy. So one can only imagine, and they harass him night and day, tried to get him fired. The harassment doesn't end on anyone that crosses this group. So when you start talking about Jeff Rentz putting a line in the sand and coming across and start even entertaining running ads for a website like mine, well, you're gonna take some heat because it's a big media venue. It'd be like me running Bob's Underground Garbage Seminar running intriguing ads on Fox News. They're probably gonna catch some flack, but he's already been in the mix. One of the challenges from him being in the mix is just getting through to them. Getting through to them is quite a process, and we're still working on some different things, but that's where we're going for that. Alex Jones is probably Prison Planet. His Prison Planet website is as big as Rentz. Alex Jones himself is twice as big as Rentz these days. Part of that is because, in my opinion, his deal with the Zionist side or his deal with the little Jew rabbits. And he has all the Jewish advertisers that, in my opinion, many of them used to advertise on Rentz.com at one time and whatnot. So that's kind of interesting, but that is a venue that is opened up for our side, which allows me, which I'm the only one, I'm the only white rabbit on earth that even talks in such terms, that appeals to this segment. And this is one vehicle to allow me to advertise, allow White Rabbit Radio to advertise directly in that segment. Now, I don't know exactly how it would go. You don't know until you do something, and I don't know exactly what type of attention it would get. I have a feeling it would get some. It's a matter of tweaking it. We would like to have enough. As soon as we have enough revenue, you're going to see as soon as it goes through, because there's going to be ads up. But they have a variety of different type of ads, some a lot bigger, some a lot more attention, but they are not inexpensive. None of it is free, obviously. That's why they're successful. You know, you can run advertisings on a variety of different radio shows. For instance, Political Cesspool as a successful populist radio show in the South. And you could run ads for, let's say, Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar on there, and that's not a bad idea. And it's not cheap. It's not free. But when you start talking about a Rentz.com, you start talking about something much, much, much bigger. But that's something that we're working on right now, and that is the next stage. I'm going to go into this audience directly. The quickest way to do that is with advertising our slick little images and whatnot and drawing over part of an audience. And that opens up several different opportunities. how many millions of visitors? Does Rents.com actually get as many visitors as they say? Yes. Yes, it's 2 to 3 times bigger than Stormfront. They're huge. They're huge. He's on AM radio all the time. The difference is that it's, you know, when you start talking about nightly news, you're talking about 25 million, I believe it is, something along those lines. When you start talking about 10% of that number on Rents.com, well, on any given month, the big thing is that's a target audience that can take something mainstream very quickly. That's what's developed online. Instead of, you know, typically growing up, the only thing you see is CBS, NBC, and ABC, and you got to get on there to make your spiel, and the Jews guard the gates. Well, now online, you have some big venues where they're not allowed to guard the gates. They're not even entertaining them guarding the gates. They harass the gatekeepers. They harass the gates. Yeah, they do. But you're talking about some big audience, and they're a target audience. Now, Alex Jones has about 8 million. To give an example, he doesn't have 2.5 or 3 million, he has 8 million on his main website, InfoWars. But that is 100% my target audience. 8 million, and there's about 3 million absolute unique visitors, and there's a lot of voodoo to web stats. You're talking about big audiences, that's all I have to say about it. You can do your homework on them any which way under the sun. Prison Planet is in the top 5,000 websites in the world. In the U.S. is in the top 1,500. Rents.com is roughly in that area. Glenn Beck is like 7,000 globally, and in the U.S. can go around 1,300. But Rush Limbaugh, these guys are bigger than Rush Limbaugh online. Rushlimbaugh.com on any given day. Alex Jones has the top 500 websites in the U.S. for Infowars.com. Rush Limbaugh is only at 1,500. Rush Limbaugh in the U.S. is somewhere, depending on the month, can be right around where Rents.com is. But the difference is it's 100% my target audience. You know, Bob would do very well on Rush Limbaugh and very well on Glenn Beck. They would love him because he's populist. He can talk to anyone. But my stuff appeals to that audience, and it's just a yin and yang approach. One which is a very provocative story, an old guy from the Reagan administration who's been in the CIA, who's done it all, is putting little Stormfronters on a consistent message having to do with their own genocide. It's a very provocative story. I'd want to read about it if I were reading the newspaper. And another is White Rabbit Genocide, which is a very provocative story too. It's the same story, it's just for a different audience. But that's my particular spiel on what we're doing and how we're doing it and how we're going about it. There's not really a template for advertising on a forum like that to get a group on a consistent message any more than there was a template on jumping off into the storm fronts into this target audience. But we're going in that direction. We're going in that direction. That is the first stage. That's the quickest thing we can do. That's the quickest and maybe the most effective. It's just a matter of fooling with it. But we're trying to negotiate a block rate. And as soon as the revenue, as soon as it makes sense, that's what we'll do. We may only buy a couple months up front simply because of cost or a few months. But we'd like to be able to do that, and that's what that's the objective of you. That's what we're going to use the revenue for right off the bat. Of course, getting through to the rents, going through the process, it's actually quite a process, and I didn't even really think about how big of a war he got into, because no one in white nationalism has ever really talked about it. No one, on VDare or even any of the pseudo-conservatives talked about what a huge storm Rents.com caused by talking about Jewish supremacism, because it is such a large media channel, and the Jews realize that. But what's interesting about it is someone has asked me, could I advertise on Alex Jones? I haven't approached them yet, or I should say they haven't got back with us yet, but Alex Jones is by far more expensive, and he gets it because he's in bed with you know who. What's funny about Alex Jones is when you look at his media kit, our demographics are very similar. 60% male. Well, his is 58% male, 42% female. Age, 37% are between 35 and 49, 29% between 18 and 34, 30% 50 years plus. Income, 42% of his are above 100K, 18% 60 to 100K. He's got some very interesting web stats. 42% attended college. You can find out all about his web stats in a media kit. He does an actual media kit. Very, very professional. typical though, typical. But his ads are usually some people say 2 to 3 times more expensive. I don't know that they'd be more effective into the target audience, other than it's bigger yet again. But I do know this: we will entertain it or try to go down that avenue by any means necessary under the rules they set out. The problem is that he is. He advertises, you know, in his media kit, Alex Jones will say the house that Truth built. You know, meet free speech systems. Well, we'll find out as soon as we have enough revenue at White Rabbit Radio. And again, we're about 30 to 50% there for the first phase. So we're moving pretty aggressively. We're going to find out whether Alex Jones' free speech systems is actually free speech systems. I have a feeling they would say, well, we don't want to lose other advertisers, stuff like that. But that's wonderful thing about Rents.com is I don't have to worry about any of that. He's already been at war. He's been at total war, actually, with that particular group. But that's my target audience. That's what I want to appeal to. Now, I've been asked about the animation. Animations are, the way we're approaching it is probably a little more expensive than most would. A little more time-consuming. At any given time, the right formula could come together and one could come out. It would come out down the path of White Rabbit Genocide first. There are plans for 2 different animations. One that's fantasy-based, Horus Avengers Follow the White Rabbit. The other that is not fantasy-based. It's reality-based. It's very unique. But my approach to even my concepts of animation are radically different than what's out there too. But the first priority is to get down this particular venue. Those are very large venues that eventually, for animation, a very large target audience that I eventually want to go down, that we're going to work for in the long run and the medium run, simply because that's what I want for the future. And of course, you can combine the two. There's no reason why you can't combine White Rabbit Genocide with whatever type of animation you're doing for our race. It's a provocative story, but that is what we're doing. That is the direction we're going. So follow White Rabbit 71. From there on out, we're doing practical politics. I'll be doing more interviews with Truck Roy and who knows who else. And it will all be practical politics. Anything else, you'll be able to log into Endgame Exotica and hear geopolitics or alternative news and research, even for free. You'll be able to get new ones. There'll be new free podcasts coming out in the next couple weeks. And every 10 days to every 2 weeks, there's going to be new free podcasts, which will be the same as the ones the paid subscribers heard X many weeks prior. Not all of them will be released for free. We've got to raise revenue somehow. But by and large, there'll be candy carrots, as we call, for the White Rabbits every 10 days to 2 weeks, and that will be older material. There'll be a handful of candy carrots released, and they'll be identical to the ones the paid subscribers heard. But that's our formula. I don't know that there's any really, there's not a clear-cut path to the web. Some websites, the Glenn Beck's, charge as much as $20 for membership sites. Others that run a radio show only charge $50 to $60 a year, but they also sell advertising. We've cut a path down the middle at $9.95 a month. At the same time, we have an agenda. Anyone that sends us money in any way, shape, manner, form is always should be aware that we have an agenda, and that agenda is fighting White Rabbit Genocide, and we're very serious about getting the message out. And that's really our agenda in phase one, especially in the phase we're coming in. We're coming into crunch time on this planet. When our memes are sinking in, they're spreading out farther and farther. I turned into AM radio, and I'm going to talk a little bit about Mr. Derek Black. But I tuned into the radio and heard Don and Derek Black talking about nothing but white genocide. And I was so pleased to have more and more talking about this. But that's how you get a meme out there. And once they're out there, that is where power comes from. Having your memes into the public consciousness. That is the only way to hold power, or the only way for us to take power in this type of system. And is to do it in a legitimate way by getting our message out. But the message has to be very, very simple. It has to be a consistent message. And in this case, I've always felt something written by someone with some type of proven track record in that particular area. And that's old Bob Whitaker. But that's a little spiel on Horus Avengers, Follow the White Rabbit. That's where we're going. And we don't know how it's going to work until we're there working it. But we plan on being there ASAP. I've gotten emails about different parties that want to buy members. You know, Horace, I don't listen to the podcast, but I understand what you're doing or going to do. And we want, do I just hit a PayPal button? Well, yeah, you can just buy a membership. It's that simple. The directions are pretty straightforward. You get a username and password. You log in under the username and password, and you buy a subscription, whatever you want to do with a subscription. Or you can just, there's two ways to buy a subscription. You can buy a subscription with a username and password, or you can buy a subscription as you get your username and password. Just follow the instructions. It's really, and if there's anything messed up, we'll step in and help you by all means. But it's pretty straightforward. I don't have any, I've had a husband and wife email me, well, we're buying two subscriptions because we realize what you're doing and we want to help get the message out. And I've had another husband and wife team, we don't have enough money to buy two subscriptions, but we're just buying one subscription. Do you mind that? Of course I don't mind that. One subscription per household is plenty. But whatever you want to do, you're your own free agent. We try to get the message out by any means necessary. I had an amusing email, and this is the type of email I get excited over, is that someone, a truck driver, and I'm not talking Truck Roy, I'm talking about an actual truck driver. Truck Roy now cuts hair. He's a barber. But a truck driver was playing, Follow the White Rabbit 30-something, and he's playing it over the CB radio. This was on White News Now, and I was very, very, very pleased to read this type of thing. And I've read another very similar one in an email. Very pleased to hear that someone likes it enough to play it over the CB, and he has several different listeners that converse after they're done. But I have a target audience, and that target audience can get this stuff prime time very quickly. They did it with any other thing you want to give them, whether it be UFOs or alternative or 9/11 truth. They can take a story very quickly and plant it into the public consciousness, and that's what we want to do with our stuff. It's just there's a couple different ways to skin a pink rabbit, but I take the shortest distance between two points. The wonderful thing about this particular one, this particular point, or advertising, or going directly into the media, is that we actually have a venue that now allows David Duke to put up articles and whatnot. Obviously, if you're allowing David Duke to put up articles, well, White Rabbit Radio shouldn't be a problem for you. You know, they've already taken the flack. They've already paid the cost. And there is a cost for speaking out about Jewish supremacism or Jewish contradictions or anything about the Jews. If you don't say, I love you, little Jew rabbit, oh, they go nuts. They go nuts. As soon as you stand up and point out the contradictions, they actually lose it. They do. They do. But we all know that. But that is what we're doing. And in the next little piece, I want to do an addition. We're going to talk about the actual conference. And one thing that's interesting came out of the conference. It's a little tweak to one of the talking points that Derek Black does all the time. I'm going to talk about that a little bit. But thanks for listening to that. I think it's important to keep you informed about what our plans are. And if they change, I'll tell you. But that's where we're going and that's what we're doing. One of the more interesting things that has come out of the conference has come from Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar is that more people are participating. And we have the Black family of Stormfront fame, and most notably Derek Black. Derek Black is a younger fellow, and he has to defend himself all the time. Why? Because he gets called racist all the time, and now he's in public on any given day, walking down the street or walking across a college campus, so on and so forth, etc. And because he's out in the public all the time, and because people know who he is and in certain instances, he's always had to defend himself a great deal. The more in public you are, and you're like a Derek Black, the more you have to defend yourself. It's kind of common sense. So I'm always curious to hear what he does with the mantra, or how he uses Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar stuff, how he uses a particular talking point. And he likes it quite well. He uses it all the time because it's short, it's sweet, it doesn't put him on the defensive, it doesn't make him look stupid. It always gives him something to say. And one of the great things about having someone like Derek is Derek has to defend himself more than any white rabbit out there would want to or should have to or would ever care to. He is constantly under attack. on any given day or in any given week. I'm sure on any given week, he's in the right environment, and people start making the common sense answers. You're from the KKK, you're a Nazi who wants to kill 6 million Jews, and all this other type of stuff. But anyways, he has a modified version of, in your opinion, I'm a racist. You're just saying that because I'm white. Anti-racism is just a code word for anti-white. He's modified it. He didn't like saying that. I don't know whether it's too long or he doesn't like saying in your, it's not necessarily in your opinion. He doesn't like saying that in your opinion, I'm a racist. He doesn't like saying that part. He doesn't like saying that first part. So what he did was he cut it off. And I found that in most instances, if you're walking down the street or for something fast, it's not only just as effective, it can be even more effective because it's faster. What he is saying consistently is, when he's called a racist, he says, you're just saying that because I'm white. Anti-racism is just a code word for anti-white. You're just saying that because I'm white. Anti-racism is just a code word for anti-white. I have found that it works pretty good. It doesn't work as well if you're engaged in a very quiet conversation with a small group of people, and they give the standard replies. But if you're walking down the street and if you're engaged in a very heated conversation where words are flying, it is very short, it is very fast, it is very aggressive. It works quite well. It works very, very, very well. So that is an interesting little tidbit from Derek Black. There are others that are doing another variation. In your opinion, they're saying it in your opinion, you're just saying that because I'm white. Anti-racism is just a code word for anti-white. So there's another slight variation. But Derek doesn't like saying that I'm a racist. In your opinion, I'm a racist. He doesn't like saying that bit. And I'm sure he has all his different reasons for it, but I have found that it is very, very effective just saying, you're just saying that because I'm white. Anti-racism is just a code word for anti-white. There's only one rule. Does it work? Of course, to know if something works, pardon me, you are better off having a Derek Black out there using it all the time, and then you can find some little tweak, some little version. And then you can use it and see if it works really quickly. That is the only standard. Does it work? A lot of this stuff doesn't work that we do historically, but that's the wonderful things about Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar is you got guys out there like Derek Black who are having to use stuff all the time, and out of necessity, out of survival, and tweaking things here and there to see what works in very quick situations. But I have found that it works quite well. So you guys try that. Try that and sound off about it. Over on the Bug Swarm. But that is one of the advantages of having someone like him using it, because he defends himself more than I do. More than I do by a long shot, because he's Derek Black. He's Derek Black. But I have found also that in short and fast conversations that it does work. It's just effective. It does slow down the enemy. It just stumps them right in the face, and that is the whole objective. But I still find that at the table when someone says a racist and you're in a dinner conversation, in your opinion, I'm a racist, you're just saying that because I'm white. That rephrasing it totally works on that particular person. I think maybe Derek's been called a racist so many times he doesn't like saying it at all. It could be that. But in a fast conversation, if you're walking down the street across a college campus, someone yells you're a racist, you say, you're just saying that because I'm white. Anti-racism is a code word for anti-white. The big part, of course, is the ending. Anti-racism is just a code word, and the big part there is the code word. It invokes a subconscious response. But this is very interesting update, and this is the type of feedback we want, the type of feedback we're going to continue to deliver now that the stuff is expanding, our reach is expanding into the white rabbit world. There's been several videos made by our enemy. I wanted to comment on it because it's kind of entertaining. Our enemy is busy making videos, but I understand enough about how human nature works and how our race operates. Our race, whenever they're hit with a consistent message, they want to take long explanations. It's not a conservative or a liberal thing. It is a white thing. It's human nature to want to take some long argumentation or give some long argument on why that talking point is wrong. So they're doing what all the anti-whites will be doing. They're developing videos that last anywhere from 9 minutes, 8 minutes, 10 minutes, 7 minutes, 6 minutes, all the way up to 12, 13, 14 minutes, talking about why anti-racism is not a code word for anti-white, on why trying to force blend Europeans, force blend white rabbits and only white rabbit holes is not genocide. But mainly the big one they're dealing on is why anti-racism is not a code word for anti-white. The problem with that is you get into exactly what the conservatives did on the college campuses in America in the 60s. They were trying to fight communist talking points with argumentation. And they won every argument. Yeah, you can win every argument. But when someone's imposing terminology, the more you repeat their phraseology, even if you try to twist it, even if you try to explain, it's not real. And the communist stuff was a total lie. It was a total lie. The conservatives were 100% right in explaining why it was a total lie. But they lost. They lost everything under the sun. The conservatives didn't win anything against the communists until they started doing something very similar. If the Soviet Union is so wonderful, why do they have guards at the border to keep people in? If the Soviet Union is so wonderful, why do they have guards with machine guns that kill people that try to leave? And when they start doing simple things like that, they start getting somewhere. They ain't getting anywhere arguing. So whenever I see our enemy, and you will never see this at the top, you only see this at the bottom. At the top, they would only try to engage in some type of smear campaign, some type of credibility campaign. That's all you could really do at the top. Maybe against Bob or whatever. I'm a rabbit. I guess they could try to maintain a smear campaign against a white rabbit, but that can backfire completely. But at the bottom, that's what we tend to want to do. If you're not educated, if you're not informed, if you're not trained, you want to respond with an argument on why that's not true. But when someone's imposing terminology, anything you do to enforce that terminology, even if only giving credence to the voices, even if only giving credence to the phrase by trying to argue against it, is a failed proposition. It's nearly exterminated my race. It's put my race basically on the defensive all across the top of the planet. Up until white rabbit genocide came out, up until the mantra, we were on the defensive. Not because we were losing arguments, but because we were trying to make arguments. It doesn't work. It just won't work. So anytime I see a video with someone trying to tell me how anti-racism is just a code word for anti-white, or trying to split up Bob's sound bites, which is kind of dangerous because he's Southern and they might make white people are starting to get very sensitive that someone's always attacking them, and it may seem like they're making fun of Bob's voice because he's Southern, or someone that uses my voice for whatever, I get excited. It's kind of like a politician being on Saturday Night Live. I've seen Saturday Night Live totally lampoon politicians. I've never seen it hurt their credibility. I've never seen it do anything but expose a larger audience to a message, and it works on a subconscious basis. The only time that Saturday Night Live has ever hurt a politician is when a politician is under the gun for doing something illegal, like lying under oath or cheating on their wife, and they have to step down. But even then, Saturday Night Live cannot hurt. If you've never seen Saturday Night Live hurt the credibility of a politician on a good message, it doesn't work that way. Even if they're killing them, even if they're doing the funniest things under the sun. That's why politicians don't mind going on there and lampooning themselves. It doesn't hurt. So don't worry about someone using our message or how they use the message. Anything you do to get it out there, anything you do, anytime the enemy does this crazy stuff, these long, elaborate arguments, using our terminology, as we're imposing terminology, it's very, very, it just shows that they're amateurs. Shows that they're amateurs. Yeah, you wouldn't want to expose it at all. But the only people that watch these particular thing are so many thousand of the anti-whites. The anti-whites and a lot of non-whites watch them. It's kind of irrelevant. The average white person is going to be susceptible to the consistent message. To the arguments we make. And by the way, they've always been susceptible to the arguments that the racial side makes. You could send in Jailer Taylor, you could send in American Renaissance. He can talk to a white audience in the middle of Wisconsin, and 90% of them will agree with everything he has to say. We've always seen this. This is simply a fact. And conservatives and the people like Jared Taylor and, you know, a lot of good people wonder why they lose, because you don't understand what you're up against. You're up against psychological warfare, and you don't fight psychological warfare with arguments. When you do that, you're going to get your ass handed to you. You're going to lose. We know, because that's how we lost. So don't worry about them developing 14-minute videos or even 5-minute videos trying to explain why anti-racism is anti-white or even making fun of it. That's wonderful. That's fantastic. Move on along. You might want to argue with them. You might want to put some memes up. But that is, you will not see Abe Foxman or the SPLC engage in that because they understand psychological warfare. They are not stupid. Professionals understand what it is, what we're doing. Just keep imposing terminology. I don't care if you lose every argument on this planet. Why? My enemy has always lost every argument on this planet. As long as you can impose terminology, you will impose ideology. And all the vast majority of white people, 90-some percent, way, way more than you could ever imagine, always agree with us on every issue. So let's move. The only way, I mean, there's all of these different things. Well, Horace, we got to educate and we got to do this and that. I'm not opposed to that. I have links going all over the place on my website, and I put up more. Anyone that asks for a link, I try to give them a link, as long as it's not too out there. As long as it has to do with educating white rabbits on something, I don't have a problem with that. We have all kinds of education, always had all kinds of education. But education doesn't move you to power. What moves you to a position of power, and education does not threaten this system. Education can work now that demoralization is 15 years out. Now that you have a new media, the internet has been around for 15 years. That type of thing can work better and better. But you have to have a consistent message to threaten this type of system. You have to have that pressure wave building. Second, you can't ever affect a huge population with all these extrapolations and arguments. You have to be in power before you can even make that work, you know. And you've got to come to power on some type of message that transforms your particular audience on a conscious basis. That can only be done with something short and sweet. It's no different than selling a product. You don't see them sell Coca-Cola with long, elaborate arguments. That's wonderful. I mean, I can give you long, elaborate arguments why Coca-Cola is wonderful and stuff like that, but that's not how they sell that. It don't work that way. Our enemy did not sell their stuff with long, elaborate arguments. They sold their stuff by saying, if you didn't believe it, use a racist. That's the way that works. But we've got to learn this type of thing. If you don't learn it, you will be ruled by those who do or answer to those who do. That's the way it works. No one pays attention to anything that's non-professional. And powers that be, anyone of any intelligence is going to do their homework, is going to find out what's professional, how things work. And under this particular system, consistent messages is how it works. And I be honest with you, I don't see that changing a whole lot. If you can deliver something short and sweet, even within your arguments, always have a talking point, always have something short and sweet, you're going to dominate. You're going to dominate. Again, if you impose terminology, you impose ideology, but you have to have the terminology first. You have to be using that. You have to have the consistent messages. And in this one, in my opinion, you have to have something professionally written, someone with a track record, like old Bob Whitaker. In spite of the controversy, in spite of all the controversy about him, or maybe lack thereof, he's very good at this particular thing. This is where he shines. This is where he has credibility. This is why he has a big government pension. Now, any other things I want to mention here? I've been asked about the website. I've already went over the different improvements we've gone on. I always get asked one particular question. Is there any white nationalists out there? Is there anything white and normal? Is there any someone white that can build websites? And there are various different characters out there. I know there's some on Stormfront. I've only used one in particular, and I told him if he ever has a website up that he wants to post on a white normal site like White Rabbit Radio, I'd give him one. I use one, and I pay him, and when he helps me out, or I pay him as he helps me out these days. I came into contact with him through the big conference down in Tennessee, but I do have a white and normal person that can build WordPress sites very quickly, can maintain WordPress sites, can help you out. If you don't see a link up to him on my site, you can send me an email. If you're one of the guys that have always asked me, or one of the gals who can do a WordPress site at a reasonable cost and whatnot that is white and normal, I can refer you to someone. You can send me an email. I'll refer you to his email, and you guys can White Rabbit, White Rabbit talk back and forth via email and get together or something along those lines. But I do have someone I could recommend if in fact that's what you want. If you're someone that has asked me about that, I've told him to put up a website, and I'll gladly put it up on my site that he builds websites for the White Normal. He just specializes in WordPress. He doesn't deal with a lot of other stuff. So if you're interested in a WordPress site, or you need help with something, he would be someone you can hire, and he's very, very competitive, very reasonable. He helps out various different groups associated with all the White Normal groups. He has customers that are in, like, you know, Council of Conservative Citizens and that type of thing. He's always around those meetings. He was at the Stormfront Conference. Really, really good fellow. But that's who I use these days, and I can only recommend the person I use, and he seems to do a job very fast, very efficient, and can do what I want at a very reasonable cost if I need help with something. But that's pretty much that. That's all I have to say on this show. We'll be doing more of them. Maybe I believe I have a Truck Roy interview coming up. Don't know when. You have to talk to Truck Roy about that. But you can head on over and get yourself some candied carrots. There's going to be candied carrots coming up once every couple weeks, consistently in the next couple weeks after you hear this. There's going to be new candy carrots as well as all the old ones, which means all you have to do is get yourself a register for a free membership, and you can get yourself some candy carrots. And if you like geopolitics or you want to know what's going on with the alternative news and research, well, that's where we keep the conversation alive these days. Follow the White Rabbit 72 and so on will mostly be practical politics, and we will look to do some different things going forward with that to expand a little bit. But as always, this is Horace the Avenger. This is Follow the White Rabbit. This is Non-Voting Politics.
You have been listening to Horace the Avenger's Follow the White Rabbit, an exclusive WhiteRabbitRadio.net production.